place. Do you know that? Yeah, I appreciate that. Three of you love me back. Good. Good. But I'm grateful for three. Going camping. I have really great memories from camping. And we close shop here on that Sunday, and we go up there and we worship up there and have church up there. Worship every night that we're there, and just a great time. One memory that I have that was so incredible. Ooh. Did you hear that? That's a sign to turn off your phones. Amen. I think Carrie was with me. We're on a boat. And we looked up, and there was an osprey who was coming down quickly and dipped down, went into the water, and came up flying with a fish in his mouth, or his claws. Claws, I think it was. Talons. And it was just so awesome to see that. And then as it's starting to climb, you look in the distance, and there's a bird coming toward it. It was amazing. It was a bald eagle. And that bird came and was shooting down toward that osprey. And that stinker, that bald eagle took that fish away from the osprey. The osprey wasn't going to have anything to do with it. He takes out after that bald eagle. In fact, another one is joining, and they're going to get that bald eagle, but that bald eagle just began to soar and to soar and to soar. And those ospreys gave up. It was a great scene. I just loved that experience. And I don't know if you were going to pick the sermon today is called Eagles or Chickens. Which would you rather be, an eagle or a chicken? I view YouTube this week about eagles, and you got to see this. It is phenomenal. What eagles do, they don't know if they're trying to prepare for mating or they're just plain having fun. Two eagles will soar high into the air, and then they'll come together and they'll grasp onto each other's feet. And then they will go down twirling. It's phenomenal to see. And the scientist that was talking about it, he said sometimes they will go and twirl and it's just like they're having fun and they'll spin and spin and head toward the ground and it looks like they're going to crash and they just split off and fly up again. Chickens, on the other hand, are just cluck and eat bugs. They don't catch a fish, and they do fly, if that's what you want to call it. They can get off the ground, and they can fly up to a fence, but they're always down near the ground. They eat pretty much about everything, and sometimes they eat whatever they drop, if you know what I mean, their own droppings. Yeah, gross. Gross. You know what they say about eagles is that eagles they fly high and usually they mate for life. A chicken will look for any rooster. Okay, we're done. You know, there's something in that story. There's something about flying high in Jesus to heights that are incredible in Him. And we've been studying there in Ephesians 3, 13 to 21. I'm going to get that in just a minute, but there's two things, just two simple things. I apologize for last week. I guess it was, Andrew told me it was one of my longest sermons. And I appreciated the two people that came up and told me afterwards they could listen to me all day. Well, that was only two. All right. Two things I want us to see. Simple things. Our need, because we're weak. Our need that we're weak, and we need something of power, or we'll just be those Christians that are like chickens. And how to access that power. First of all, we need something more than we have. Now I want you to know that Paul, I said this last week, but I need to say it again, because Paul is talking to saints. In the first chapter, he said, you have been raised up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He talks about who we are in him, that we're adopted, that we're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. He talks about the power of God that has resurrected us in Jesus Christ. But he comes to that third chapter, and he talks about something more of the power. And it's not talking about salvation, but it's talking to you and I who are chickens, that he has something more for us. He wants us to become like those eagles so we can fly high. He has something in our lives that want to take place. So let's just read that. It's in your notes there, Ephesians 3. In the 13th verse, he said, I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which is for your glory. The Christians were discouraged. Now, do you ever go through difficulties? Do you ever suffer? Do you ever go through problems? Do you ever have fearful times, anxious times, jealous times? Do you ever feel unloved? Do you ever feel like you lack something? Do you ever feel insecure? Do you ever think of yourself better than someone else and then you fall and you can't believe how you fell and what you did? That's because we're weaker than we really think we are. And there needs to be something that needs to happen in our life if we're going to fly like eagles. If there's going to be something happen in our life that will change us, and that the mundane things or the difficult things of life will be victorious in. Instead of those things overcoming us and we are in despair and we want to give up, there's something that is renewed and strengthened. The power of God comes in our life. Because, you see, this Christian life is real. It's not just our head putting it together, the gospel, and we're sinners, and Jesus died for me. And, you know, that's kind of like the bottom line. Okay, yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe he was resurrected from the dead. And so you're saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, those things are important to get and to understand. But there is so much more in Jesus Christ. Why do you have one Christian who seems to walk victoriously and in power and seems to be an overcomer and seems to be so faithful? And it seems like sometimes those things don't bother them. But then you look at your life and you just shake your head and you're discouraged and you want to give up. And it seems you're so driven a lot of the time just by your emotions. If you're having a good day, then you love Jesus. If things are going together, then you're happy to go to church and sing the song, and you just have a little more vigor in your heart because of the emotions. But then when your emotions let you down and you're discouraged, it seems to dictate the way of life, decisions that you make, what you do and what you don't do by the emotions instead of by what the Word of God says. And having that victorious life. Verse 14, it says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Now he kneels because he knows that they're going through difficulty. These are saints, these are believers, but he prays for them and for the whole family in heaven on earth, derives its name, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being. There is something that he wants to do inside of you. Look at some of those scriptures that I have there, just the first part of them. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. This surpassing power is from God and not from us. Now, then he says, we are hard-pressed. He says, we're going through difficulties, but I want you to know, it's God that's working in us. We have weaknesses and failings. Now, Isaiah 40, verse 29 there, he gives power to the weak. We're weak. He is strong, and we need his power and his authority, his strength in our lives. And in the 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, or we don't give up. We don't faint, King James says. Though outwardly we are wasting away, outwardly we're wasting away. There's things that we're going through that totally and completely devastate our lives. But he says, inwardly we're being renewed. Outwardly wasting away, physically tired, mentally drained, but there's something else that is taking place, he says, within my inward parts. Back to Ephesians 3, and I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now again, he's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about the application of what you believe in your head. He's talking about something that's beyond that. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now, how do you view your heart? We talked about that last week. Your heart is that desire, that emotion that you have, but it's also that mental capacity to think things through. You have a great ability to learn, to understand, and to think things through. And then the third part of the heart is the will, the ability to make choices, whether good choices or bad choices. You have that ability. And remember, he says to guard your heart, because out of it will determine the direction of your life in Proverbs. So guard your heart, because inside of you is this capacity, the inner man, he calls it, that not only are you to understand with your head and your heart, but also experience emotion to a point where God is giving you the ability to make right choices and good choices and choices that are beyond. And that inner man is what he wants to be strengthened in your life. If it's not strengthened, you're too weak to make good decisions. You know, you always be with the chickens, clucking and carrying on, muck, 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 always complaining, always going through the, looking for someone to satisfy you. You're unhappy, so you go to this church, that church. You're unhappy with your marriage, so you look for someone else. You know, you're just a chicken. Every little emotional thing that comes through, you're running or flying or clucking. And there's no height in your life in Jesus Christ at all. It's like experiencing God is like the difference between having a roadmap. Pam and I, this last week, went to Mount Angel. We took the back way, because we Googled it, and they told us to go the back way. I don't know if there's a front way, but we went the back way. And so, but I pulled up the mat before we left, and you could see the green, and it was just kind of pretty. But then we went the route, and oh my, it is so beautiful there. And we both commented how pretty it is out here. You know, springtime, and everything's green and lush, and there's growth. It's just absolutely beautiful. Now, we didn't say that when we looked at the map, because the map is just color. It's one thing to know in your head about Jesus Christ. It's another thing to experience him. In the Greek, there's two words for knowledge. Knowledge, there's one, gnosis, that you seek understanding. And the Bible tells us to seek understanding. It says, is to add to a moral excellence understanding. It says, grow in grace and the knowledge, gnosis, understanding of Jesus Christ. We just study Jesus and study Jesus. But there's something more that needs to happen, that grace be applied to our life, that we experience him, epignosis. That's the other word. Epignosis. We experience him. There's something, our inner being comes alive in him. And we have a greater desire and a greater ability to serve him, to love him. And we become driven. Now, how do we get to that place? How do we make it happen? Because you remember I talked about last week? That we can't make that happen by just willing it, because that's only part of the heart. You have to experience it. You study to show yourself approved. But there's some who have always learned but never come to the knowledge of truth. They know the Bible. They could tell you everything that you're doing wrong. And they will feel so proud of themselves that they know it and they can quote that scripture. But in their own life, they're just full of pride and arrogance and judgmental. They're Pharisees. But Jesus wants something else in us that overrides everything else in our life. And it's comprehending, our understanding, our knowing the love of God. That's what's not our love for him, but his love for us. Listen to what it says. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, verse 17, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp, get a hold of how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Now, there is, like the roadmap, that's what theology is, that's what the written word does, and it's good to read it and to know it. But to meditate on it, you begin to meditate, and I think that's what Paul's doing here. He's thinking about how incredibly deep God's love is, how wide it is. And I think that he was beginning to get the idea of all that. And the reason why I put it that way, get the idea, is because he didn't fully understand it. That's why he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him. There is something in our lives that's an ongoing growing and light coming on, and our emotions and our mind attached to it. And we begin to grow in him, and we go into heights like never before, like an eagle in our Christian walk. We need to know the Word of God, but there's something, two things that is so very important. I think that will help us, because he tells us, and let me read that part again, that we may have power together, verse 18, with all the saints to grasp the wide and long and high and deep in the love of Christ, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that surpasses gnosis, or understanding. You can't get it by just reasoning it through. You won't get it. It has to be your whole heart, your inner person, that gets it by the Spirit of God. that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is works within us, to him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Wide and deep is the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. You can't get it by just reading. You can't get it by just your head. And I think what Paul is doing, he's thinking. He's meditating. And that's one of the key things that we need to do when it comes to the Word of God, is that we meditate on it. It's one thing to read it and get your five chapters in. It's another thing to dwell and to think. Go throughout the day thinking about God's Word. Thinking about what you read and you don't quite understand it, but you're mulling it over. Or maybe you're thinking about His love, how high it is, how deep it is. Maybe that's how what Paul was doing at this point. He's thinking, and he doesn't give us anything to really grab hold of. Remember I talked about that last week? He just talks in general that God's love is so high and so wide and so deep. And we don't really give us any specific. And that's the beauty of God. Because he doesn't just want us to just memorize something or to know something in our head. He wants us to experience something in him that goes deep within our lives. Because you remember some of the things that we said about Paul. And in the first part, or 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in the jars of clay, so this all surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And then go down to the bottom of the page there in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. We don't lose heart because all these things are taking place. Now, none of us, it might seem like it, but none of us experienced the stuff that Paul experienced. How many of you have been stoned and left for dead? I mean, with rocks. None of us. You know, we didn't go in the grocery store and witness someone and they started throwing groceries at us. Doesn't happen in America. Maybe it will someday. Though we were wasting away again. Never mind. Though we were wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Inwardly. And so Paul, in all the things that he was going through, there was something that stirred up, even though he was down, depressed, he was hurting, yet there was something that welled up within him. And he says, the love of Christ consumes me. The love of Christ motivates me. The love of Christ pushes me. That was the thing that totally moved him, what Jesus did for him, the gospel. The gospel. The simplicity of the gospel, but going deep into it, understanding his love. Now, let me just talk a little bit about that. The love of Christ, how wide, long, high, deep. He doesn't give us any definitions. And I love that because now what we can do, and I think Paul did in his own life, we can go to the Word of God and find some things in there that fit maybe how wide it is. And it's so exciting to meditate on the Word of God, how wide it is. How wide is His love? Last week I talked about how deep, and I'll mention that again, but how wide is His love? I thought of the scripture in Revelations. Revelations 5. This is John who is looking for someone to open the scroll. And he says, I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And so you have this picture, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You have this picture of someone who has strength and power. Someone who's the king of the jungle, the lion. But then it says that he turned and I saw a lamb for sinners slain. I saw a lamb as it was. He's talking about Jesus Christ, who was God, equal with God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he stepped down, and that's the depth. He steps down into earth and then into hell. But then listen to what he says in verse 9. They all began to rejoice, and it says, they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain, and by your blood you were ransomed people for God. Now listen to this, church. Listen. These things are so spiritually discerned, I'm telling you. Listen to what he says. From every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and a priest to God, and they shall reign on earth. Every language, every tribe. When it comes to knowing the width of his love, there is no racism. There is no skin problem. There is none of that in the kingdom. And if you can't get that, all you are is a chicken. Just a clucking. Just a bleak, 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 bleak. Can you see yourself? Getting all upset about different races and different things that are going on instead of having compassion on them and loving them because Jesus died for them as well, and you need to reach out to them and love them instead of condemning them. Oh, the width of his love. He takes in everyone. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Every skin color, every tongue, every language, he cares for all peoples. And that ought to be us. Oh, it ought to be us. How long? You know what came to mind? And you can do this on your own. This is called meditation on the Word. How long? I thought he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You might be a chicken, and you might be whining and complaining, and you might fly over the fence looking for a great world out there because you know there's better bugs. And you might be trying all kinds of things and eating a different pile of bugs than the other chickens. But he's there with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And remember what forsaking means. It means emotionally. The reason why you don't feel God anymore is not because of God. It's because maybe you. And we don't go just by feeling. In fact, if you're one of those people who just go by feeling, remember what I said the heart is? If you're just going by feeling, then when the feeling's left, you're in disarray. If you're one of those Christians who just go by understanding, head knowledge, and you're studying the Word of God, and you know it so well, I know a lot of those Christians that's been Christians for 50 years, and a lot of them don't even go to church anymore. And you know why they don't go to church anymore? Because in their Christian experience, by just thinking things through, their Christian life became rigorous and hard and there was no joy to it. There was something that was lost. His love will not leave you, and He'll be there with you. He will follow you wherever you go. And you can be like that prodigal son. Just lift your head to heaven and say, Father. Because He says His arms are open to you. His arms are reaching out to you. And you just need to crawl up and say, God, forgive me, help me. And reestablish that fellowship. And so you need to meditate on the Word of God. Let's meditate on the how high. How high? How high is this incredible love? Oh, Jesus, I don't know what He's talking about, Paul's talking about, but this is what I thought of. How high? Jesus prayed for us and He said, I want them to be one with You, Father, as I am one with You. I want them to be in unity as we are in unity. I want them to experience the highest form of joy that you can experience. He pulls us up out of a miry clay. He saves us, but He wants to take us places. And He wants us to soar with Him. And He wants us to give wings, not like a chicken, but like an eagle. And there's something so interesting. I think it was when I was reading about the eagle this last week. I think it said something about the eagle can see 5 times as far as humans. So he's flying. You think you see the beauty? Oh man, he sees it. He's just flying and enjoying the things of God. And there's something that is so incredible about it, that when the storms and the real high winds come up, that the chickens look for a place to cover, he gets out in it because he soars even higher than ever before. The wind, the storm takes him up and up in a glorious fashion. I tell you, I don't want to be a chicken any longer. I want to be like an eagle and soaring high and high in God. That when the finances hit me hard, I know that I go to God and He has me soar. It's okay, I got a plan for you. When life comes along and hits me sideways and I'm spinning dizzily, His love wraps His arms around me and says, it's going to be okay. Come on, let's go high. Let's go high. Let's experience something that you couldn't experience any other way except you go through this in my life. How an incredible thought when it comes to the things of God. So how do we get there? How do we experience that? Meditation is one. And the Bible talks about another part of it that we need to do is communion, fellowship. I think we used to, as teenagers, we coined a phrase, we heard somewhere and everybody was saying, we're going to entertain the Spirit. You ever hear that? Going to entertain the Spirit. Yeah, you old timers, you old Pentecostal people, some of you heard that. Well, let me tell you what I think that means for me. Is you get in the presence of God. That you're meditating on Him. That maybe you worship. You know what you ought to try sometimes? I know it sounds weird and bizarre, but you ought to try this. Because in fellowship with God, you talk with God, and you open a psalm, and then you start singing it. I'm not talking about one that you know, a song that you know. I'm not talking about a melody that you sang before. You just make up one. Now, if your neighbor heard that, they would think you were as kooky as could be. And please be quiet because you're off key, but I'm telling you, there's something when you get in the Word and you begin to open up your heart, your emotions, your mind together. You know, there's something scientific about that. You have two sides of the brain. The one side that men usually use is one side of the brain, but you think things through. You use that side of logic and thinking things through in the frontal lobe. And so the scientists, they've done things that one side of the brain is hot as you're thinking through. Then the other side is emotion and enjoyment and that other part that gets hot. A musician who's truly a musician, who is listening to an orchestra, and he has a Bose sound system, because he can hear every part. He can hear the cello as it does its part. And I'm not a musician, so I don't know these things. He'll listen to that other little violin that is playing at the same time, and a harmony that goes together. And in his head, as he's listening to this, his whole brain comes alive, and it gets hot. When we open the Word of God, and we become emotional, but also using the think process, the thinking, our brain. That's why I say you take a psalm and you begin to sing it. I'm telling you, some of the times that I've had the greatest experience with God has not been in church, and I've had incredible times in church. And it's not been in a prayer meeting. It's been all by myself making up a tune and singing a psalm. And I might go three or four psalms and do it, and then all of a sudden something strikes my emotions. My brain is focused on the psalm. And then the melody will strike my emotions, and there's an explosion. What am I talking about? I'm talking about just getting with God. I'm talking about pressing into Him. I'm talking about more than just using your mind, but your mind and your emotion together. Let me tell you what happens when your mind and your emotion come together in the Spirit of God. You can begin to do things that you've never done before. You are shy and awkward in witnessing to someone. When you get in that place where your mind and your emotion is come alive in Jesus Christ, and that inner person is being strengthened, man, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter who you talk to. You just want to tell people about Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about just an emotional thing. I'm talking about an experience in God. Does this sound foreign to you? Does it sound weird to you? Well, that's why you're a chicken. Now, if I were to say to a world, in fact, it just happened recently, our vice president, what's his name? Pence. Pence, he said something weird and bizarre. He says that he prays. But then he said a dumb thing. He said God speaks to him. And the news, the talk shows, they got a hold of that. They laughed at him. Remember that? Won't mention the woman's name. Maybe I will. No, I won't. And they made fun of him. But every single Christian who truly has Jesus in their life has a communication with God and a communion with Him and a fellowship. And as you worship and as you pray and as you go to Him, He talks to you. And that sounds weird to the world, but it should be common to us. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. He talks to you. He walks with you. He tells you that He loves you. He tells you that He's on your side. Listen, He's even told me that He liked me. And He likes you. For God so loved the world that He gave. But His love is shed abroad in our hearts. And our whole being comes alive, and inside is strengthened. When you begin to get a little more taste of His love, taste and see that the Lord is good. I've been turned on to pho lately. That is Vietnamese soup. I can't get enough of it. The flavors are so exciting on my palate. My wife won't go with me because she knows what I'm doing. I'm slurping. Because when you slurp, it tastes better. It's like a fine wine, breathing it in. I don't know why I went there. Taking a little bit of that soup, slurping it, and it going down into your nostrils, into your palate. Oh, how sweet it is. But there is nothing like the taste of God in your life. There is not, oh, you can't get enough. You can't get enough. And I think that maybe some people, because you've never had that taste or that experience, you've just had some type of head knowledge, you're saved in the gospel and blah, but not that breath, daily breath, daily bread, daily life that is added to you. Worship team, come on up. I meditate and I fellowship. I can meditate all day long, no matter where I am. We moved to South Salem, which there's good and bad stuff to that. One good thing for me is it used to take 4 minutes to get to church. Now it takes 16. It's like forever. Unless you know a little bit of the love of God, I have 12 more minutes, and I'm not kidding you, to enjoy God. I find myself almost every time that I drive and come here, I get in the slow lane behind a truck. Saves gas. That's not why I do it. I don't want to be in a hurry. I want to meditate. I want to know, I'm not kidding you. I want to know Him. Those of you that it's rigorous for you to drive to Portland, oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. It can be a glorious time for you, I'm just telling you. You're forced to have a devotion for that hour every day. Take heed and take care of that time and fellowship with Him. You know, it's one thing to just know it in your head. It's another thing to know it, spirit, soul, and body. Your soul, your head, and your emotions, and the ability to make decisions, the strength to make decisions. This is what I want to do. I only have 4 minutes before time is ended. I want you to stand with me. We're going to sing a song. And I want you to just space out in God. I want you to forget about everyone that's around you. Now, if you'd like, you can sit. If you'd like, we have 4 minutes. You can come and kneel. If you want to go in there, you want to be alone because you don't want to hear anybody singing around you because they don't sing well, you can go in there. Now, that means if someone goes there, you're... No, I'm kidding. You can go in the prayer room there. But let's take the next 4 minutes and commune and fellowship with them. In Isaiah, in your notes, 4th chapter, verse 29, He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Father, I pray that the words that are spoken today might infiltrate our selfish ways, might overcome our sinful ways, that we'd find ourselves at your feet, calling upon you, fellowshipping with you, wanting to know you in a greater way, and to know your great love toward us. Oh, Father, your blessing as we go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.